Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have an exciting round of Stump the New Mom, where we battle it out with pregnancy and baby-related trivia, and we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
Hi, how you doing? Give us your check-in.
So my baby's 20 weeks old now. Mm. Yes, and let's see, what did we do this week? So we actually went to a new Mommy and Me class on Tuesday.
Oh. Yeah, so I've been ditched the old one, huh?
Well, I went to that too. I would never ditch my...
Whoa, doubling down on Mommy and Me's.
Well, you know, I'm not working yet, so I like need to do stuff with my week. And someone in my Monday Mommy and Me class, which is like a more regular, you know, it's the same group of people every week. She mentioned that on Tuesdays, she goes to this Mommy and Me class that's held at the hospital. This is the Huntington Hospital in Pasadena. And I can actually see Huntington Hospital from my front porch. And I was like, how did I not know about this? And she said it was really fun and that it's like mostly songs. So I decided, you know, my baby loves singing or loves me singing to him. And I thought we would take a trip. So we actually walked there and it was much more of like a drop-in thing. It was a much bigger group. I want to say there were maybe 20 people there, really big room. Mm. And it was, I want to say 90% songs. And they just kept coming. There wasn't a lot of break. So it was like mostly songs. And then at the end, they do bubbles. And then they also played with a parachute. You know, one of those big parachutes. Which my baby was a little like iffy. Like he's a little for it still, you know. Like
were there toddlers in there as well?
It goes up to 9 months. So it's 2 to 9 months. So he was a little skeptical. He liked when it was in front of him, but not when I like laid him down and put it on top, you know, above his head. He didn't like that. So
yeah,
but that's fine. You know, it's learning. He loves bubbles. But the thing that's interesting about this class is it's turned into like a sneaky exercise class.
For the moms?
Yes. And they did not warn me about this. So like we're doing our songs and, you know, like doing like wheels on the bus where you're like rotating their legs and stuff to all the different things the bus, you know, the parts of the bus do. And then they're like, okay, mommies, lie on your back and put your baby and, you know, like put your baby over your head. And so like you're basically doing chest presses and they're like literally... Just keep pressing that baby. And I'm looking around and everyone's like, oh, this is hard. And then they do songs in a circle where you're – so they do a like very long ants go marching. And for every, you know, time the ants go marching, you know, one by one, two by two, three by three, they were having us do like different things like lunges or kicks. And then you march down to the ground. So you're basically doing lunges. And Shauna, I like pulled my glute. During fucking ants go marching.
Oh, no. Well, it doesn't sound like they warmed you up properly.
I was not aware. It does say on the thing, like, to wear layers because the room can get, like, warm. I didn't know.
Layers, exactly what you need for physical activity.
I think that was a code for, like, wear, you know, stuff you can strip off because you're going to work up a sweat. But God. I was limping for a little bit from my Mommy and Me class. So
have you gone back?
Well, I'm actually thinking about going next week. The thing is, I need to make sure it works with our schedule. So it's at 10 a.m. and the baby's waking up, you know, gosh, well, I mean, that's a whole other story. Like what time the baby's waking up. But yeah, it just kind of depends on if his nap falls right in the middle of it. So we'll see. But it's so easy and you can sign up online like right before if you need to. So it was kind of fun.
That sounds fun.
So that was part of our big outing this week. And then the other big news is that we turned weaning mode back on the Snoo.
Oh, okay.
And both of his arms are out of the swaddle.
Making progress.
So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, so the Snoo is no longer rocking. It's he's not swaddled.
Yes. So that's what weaning mode means. So in the Snoo, it on its normal mode, it sort of gently rocks all night long. When you turn on weaning mode, it only rocks when the baby cries and kicks it up, basically, when it was responding and soothing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It's been so long. So
yes.
So it's just still until he cries. And it only has been kicking on a couple times a night with the weaning mode. So it's starting to look like he's doing great. I mean, he's doing great in it. I will say he's been waking up like ever since the 4 month regression, he's been waking up like 2 or 3 times a night, not to eat, just he wakes up once to eat, but like two more times he'll wake up and just fuss. And I need to like... drape mm-hmm. my freaking hand. Like, I sleep half the time with my hand, like, draped into the snoo.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, it's a problem, so.
Well, that's it. It seems like the least you could do. You know what I mean? Like, it could be so much more involved. Like, putting your hand into the crib at least is, like, pretty minimal effort. So that's good.
Well, that's one of the great things about the snoo, right? Is that, like, you
that's
know,
I'll right. replace. It's your night nurse.
Yes, I will replace his binky and then it'll shimmy. So, and the other thing he's doing a lot of is that whale tail thing where, you know, the snoo keeps them on their back because they're strapped in. So he's, like, slamming his legs down on the snoo a lot. So that's fun mm-hmm. for us in the middle of the night. It doesn't seem to wake him up. He like just, I think it might be gas. I don't know. Anyway, so that's what's going on with our sleep. We're inching towards independent sleep, but he's still nursing to sleep every night because I don't know what else to do. I've tried putting him down awake and it doesn't seem to work. So,
well, he's still so young. I mean, we think about it. These babies have only been on this planet for a grand total of like 4 months,
I know,
5 months.
I know.
There's, you know, there's so much to adjust to. And
true.
You know, we are being patient with them. So that's, true, I think true. You're doing great.
Thanks, Shauna. So that's what's been going on with me this week. How about you?
Okay. So Cece is 24 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has been sleeping in the Merlin sleep sack, which is that like big puffy snowsuit looking thing.
Like space kind- suit. Right?
Yeah, it's like a transition out of swaddle, basically. And I just love that thing. I'm so reliant on it. And she's been sleeping great, sleeping through the night. It's been awesome. And we went out of town last weekend for the first time and brought the baby. And I was so nervous about just everything, you know, like, oh, I have to bring a pack and play for her to sleep in. And she's been in the crib and it's a new room. And is there going to be blackout curtains?
Oh, yeah.
And just all of these things, you know, worries in my mind. And then the morning we are about to leave for our trip, she rolls over in the Merlin.
Which and you're not supposed to do, right?
That's the kiss of death for the Merlin. As soon as they can roll over in it, you have to ditch it. And I was like, what? Today? I'm literally going out of town today. And that was like the one comfort you were going to have. What am I going to do? So my whole plan just went to shit. And I was very anxious about this. And I was like, I don't even know what's going to be warm enough because we were going up to a mountain town, which was colder than Los Angeles. And actually was snowing there and like raining. So it was freezing.
We had like a crazy spring. It's been like cold and overcast and we got May gray. We got June gloom. We got like weird rainstorms. It's been a weird time in Southern California.
Totally weird. Like, my mom literally took a picture of the car with snow on it at 2 a.m. on this trip. So my plan was just to layer her in pajamas, just put on one pajama suit and another pajama suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, digging through hand-me-downs from Elle to find these because I haven't really been using pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just trying to pull out all the stops and prepare for this trip. So didn't bring the Merlin, brought the pack and play, and put her in two pajamas and just hope for the best. It was a long and stressful night. Mostly because of my own damn anxiety and insomnia.
Oh, no.
She did okay. I couldn't believe it. It was freezing in our room. It was like the only room in the house where the heater didn't work. So it was like 63 degrees in there. And I was like, oh, my God, I hope her jammies are warm enough. And she stirred, of course, and I was sleeping in the same room as her. So,
yeah,
you know,
which
I'm
you
not...
haven't done in a little while, right?
Yeah, because she's been in her own room. So I heard her stirring and that woke me up. And she woke up for the day around 5 a.m., which is not ideal.
No,
but...
no one likes that.
I was proud of her for being such a good sport. And really, she could have protested so much more about her new jammy situation. So... all in all,
jams.
I was proud of her. Yeah.
Was the trip fun otherwise?
Yes, it was really great. It was nice to see my family, and I love it up there. We went to Lake Arrowhead, which is like an hour and a half from LA. Perfect amount of drive up in the mountains. So
I've never been there.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Never been there. Never been to Big Bear. I don't know.
It's such a cute little town, and there's great Airbnbs around there, and it's a really nice, easy, fast weekend getaway. Just like you went to Ojai. Super close. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should check it out. So that was that. That was good. And she did great on the car ride and everything. And the other thing I wanted to mention this week is it's so cute. I love this part of a baby's development. I remember it with Elle. Cece's going through her fifth leap. If you remember, we've talked about the Wonder Weeks and
yes,
the leaps.
Yes.
And one of the things they mention is that the babies have more attention to detail during this leap, like once they've kind of mastered this developmental change. And so they become interested in tags, like tags on toys and, and clothes and stuff. So she'll be playing with like her little stuffed toys and it's like clockwork. Like she hits this leap and she has started just only wanting to play with the tags on her like little Wubba Nub and her little stuffed animal. So she's like sucking on the tag and inspecting it. And
oh, so interesting.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cute. She's just into those little
details.
Is that
something they actually say in the Wonder Weeks like app? That your baby will be interested in tags specifically?
Yeah, yeah. And they make a product. It's like a little stuffed buddy with like a little blanket body covered in tags.
Oh,
and they call him Taggy.
God. That's hilarious. One. Oh my God.
So I think it's like definitely a known thing that babies go through. For some reason, they get interested in little tags. So
that's
I'm
so
curious
cute.
To see if your little guy will go through the tag phase as well.
Well, now I'll be on alert for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that's pretty much what's up with us this week.
Cool.
Shall we move on to our special segment?
I'm excited for it. Let's do it.
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Hi, welcome back to the show. So this week's special segment is Stump the New Mom, where Shauna and I try to stump each other with pregnancy and baby-related trivia. So we've been keeping track, and we've done this three times. Shauna won the first Stump the Prego.
Woohoo!
I won the second Stump the Prego, and we tied on our first ever Stump the New Mom edition. So we are tied.
Mm.
So this is a deciding game.
Indeed.
I should say. So do you want to ask me the first question?
Okay. Which of the following is true about newborn babies?
Okay.
A, they have taste buds on their tonsils. B, their toenails grow faster than their fingernails. C, they do not sweat.
Okay. I know they have like a billion taste buds. That's like a thing. I'm going to say from personal experience, their toenails do not grow faster than their fingernails.
Hmm.
I feel like the sweat thing, oh gosh, I've heard that, but I'm not sure if it's a myth. You know what? I'm going to go for the weirdest one, which is the taste buds on their tonsils.
Yay! You got it right. Yeah, taste buds in newborns can be found on the tonsils and the back of the throat, as well as the tongue. I don't know why. I guess like that big old nipples in their mouth and the milk shooting back, it's got to like, they've got to be able to taste it and want it maybe.
Well, the reason I went with that is because since we've started solid foods recently, I was reading about this and I was told that, you know, when you taste a, you know, plain butternut squash puree, it may not taste very good to you, but to babies who have like way more taste buds than you, it tastes way more interesting. So that's why we don't have to add like salt and sugar and everything to our baby purees, because they're more interesting to them than they are to us. So
now that's a quality that I envy. I would love to have that quality.
And apparently it just keeps going downhill for us. That's my mommy teacher said that. That's why like the older you get, the more salt you want in your food, because you just can't taste it.
Oh man, that's so sad. The sweat thing, I did want to mention, babies are born with all their sweat glands, but their forehead is the only one that works
when they're
first, like for the first few days, which I thought was kind of interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. But so they do sweat, but only in that one area when they're very first born. So the things you know.
The more you know.
Yeah, that one. Okay, I'm ready. I'm nervous. Yes, here we go.
Okay. What is the meaning of the word parthenogenesis?
What the fuck?
I will spell it. P-A-R-T-H-E-N-O-G-E-N-E-S-I-S. Parthenogenesis. All right.
Okay.
You get options.
Like I'm in a spelling bee here. Okay.
Is it A, reproduction from an egg without fertilization, a.k.a. a virgin birth? B, the bodily process of creating a placenta inside the womb, or C, the splitting of a fertilized ovum to create identical twins.
Parthenogenesis.
Correct.
Parth means, I have no idea. Genesis means the beginning of something, I think. So either a virgin birth, creating a placenta in the womb, like as opposed to outside of the womb. Wait.
That is the, yes, it's the bodily, the bodily process of creating a placenta inside the womb.
Oh, that's like the normal thing we all do. Yeah, that's not out of the ordinary.
You did it twice. I did it that one time.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So making a placenta, making a twin, or what was the first one again?
The virgin birth one.
Virgin birth. Okay. I'm going to go with making a twin because it happens right at the beginning. No! Shit.
Parthenogenesis is reproduction from an ovum without fertilization, especially if it's a normal process in some invertebrates and lower plants. So it comes from the Greek, parthenos for virgin and genesis for creation. And you were on the right track there. And I made them tricky on purpose because I wanted to make them all seem plausible.
Yeah, but I have to say I was thinking humans. So I did get tricked by the plant life, you know, because humans cannot do this.
So it happens in invertebrates, I guess, fairly often. So I saw this article from, when was this? This was from May 23rd, that said, baby anacondas born at New England Aquarium without any male snakes involved.
Oh.
So they're like a, you know, pen full of female snakes, and then they got baby snakes, and they're like, I guess that's some parthenogenesis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting other fact. Anacondas don't lay eggs. They birth babies.
Like, wait, what? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so say, so there's this biologist, Tori Babson, takes care of all kinds of animals, and she said things got especially interesting there one late afternoon. I was cleaning up my tanks, getting everyone fed for the end of the day, and then she heard something weird. One of the event staff walked by the tank and noticed that there were a bunch of little babies in the exhibit. Baby snakes, I should say.
Uh-huh.
If there were little human babies, that would be a real problem.
That would be terrifying, yeah.
Babson went to check it out, and sure enough, there they were. Unlike most snake species, anacondas don't lay eggs. They have live births. So wow. It looks pretty much like you would imagine, Babson said. Tiny baby snake coming out of a bigger one. But yeah, there were 18 babies.
Wow.
Coming out of a 30-pound, 10-foot-long anaconda named Anna.
Oh, good for you, Anna. You know, take charge. You take charge of your fertility, Anna.
Yeah, so she's just like, I don't need no man.
That's right.
What she said.
I'm going to do my
she's
thing.
She's like, I'm 10 feet long. I'm Dang. Just going to have 18 babies by myself and raise them by myself. So that's what she did.
All right. Well.
That is parthenogenesis.
Inspiring.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
Detour. You want to ask me a question?
Okay. Now, I feel like you're probably going to know this one, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
A couple has the potential of producing how many different combinations of traits in a child? 18,000? 2.5 million, 64 trillion.
I mean, that's a hard, like, what is a trait? You know what I mean? Like, this is where I wonder, like, what exactly is considered a trait? You know, is it a, you know, is it eye color? I guess, okay. So what are the numbers again? Give them to me one more time.
18,000, mm-hmm. 2.5 million, 64 trillion.
These are, and it, can you repeat the question? Different combinations or...
A couple has the potential of producing how many different combinations of traits in a child?
Okay, different combinations of traits in a child. Well, okay, there's four for every trait. I'm going to go with the biggest number. I'm just going with the biggest number.
64 trillion?
That seems like a really big number.
Are you sure you want to go with that?
I do. Actually, I don't want to go with it based on your
Are
reaction.
Are you sure? Damn it. Yes, it is 64 trillion. Okay, so experts believe that one human has around 100,000 genes in their 46 chromosomes. And you can fact check me on that because I know your mom's a geneticist and I don't know shit. I just know what I read. Okay. But this means that when two individuals get together, they have the potential of producing 64 trillion babies with different combinations of traits.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, because I was thinking, so every trait, let's just assume that every trait is, they're calling like a gene a trait, right? So like if it's the trait for whether you can roll your tongue, that's a good example, right? mm-hmm. As a dominant gene, right? So if mom and dad each have one dominant gene, anyway, the point is there's like four options, essentially, like four combinations just for that one trait. So then you're exponentially taking that out. So that's why I was like, it's got to be the biggest number.
Yeah, exactly.
It exponentially grows really fast. So
because you could have a kid that can roll their tongue and have brown hair, a kid that can roll their tongue and have blonde hair, you know, et cetera, exactly. et cetera. And this article also was saying that there's variations, you know, there's like something in your genes that can tell you like how blonde your hair is. Mm-hmm. And side note, the reason I was looking this up is because I Googled something along the lines of can dark hair turn blonde? Because I have a dark hair baby, but I'm blonde and my first daughter is like more strawberry blonde. So I was curious, like, is she going to stay dark or mm-hmm. blonde? And what I kind of learned is that like there can be different variations of like red or different variations of the amount of melanin in your skin. So that gets like a different variation of skin tone. Mm-hmm. So all of these things taken together, you could have 64 trillion children, Laura.
Yeah, I probably should have started a little earlier than 37 then.
Yeah.
36. I guess I was 36. I was still 36 when I had the baby.
Well, if only you could pop out 18 at a time like that anaconda, you'd be set.
That anaconda. I'm sorry, what? Yes. Should I ask you another question?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of sleep, which we all like to talk about a lot.
Yes.
What is the longest duration anyone has stayed awake consecutively? So like without going to sleep. Is it 7 days, 11 days, or 15 days?
7, 11, or 15. Wow, I feel like you would just die at a certain point. And I am curious what happened to this person after this amount of time. Let's see. I'm going to go with the extreme 15, just because that sounds bonkers.
That does sound bonkers because it is not correct. It was 11 days, which is still bonkers. So Randy Gardner set the record for the longest a human has gone without sleep. In 1964, Gardner, a high school student in San Diego, stayed awake for 11 days and 25 minutes, which is 264.4 hours.
Why?
I think I heard a podcast about this a while back. Like, I think to do it, basically.
Like, man, you gotta be in high school to pull that bullshit. Right? Can you imagine a grown adult being like, this is the Guinness record I want to tackle?
Yeah. You know what? It was Hidden Brain. Have you ever listened to that podcast with Sean Carvedon?
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah,
good.
It's mm-hmm. so good. We'll link to it. I love that podcast. So they did an episode called Eyes Wide Open, and they interviewed him. And it was really interesting because he talks about how, like, his brain was like shutting down and just how awful it was. So that's one of those things that no parent would ever like. No parents like, here, like, you could not give me $5 million to like make me stay up more than a day at this point. Like, no, sleep is too important. Maybe $5 million for a day. 11 days, no way.
I don't know. I might go for 11 days for $5 million. How quickly I change my tune when money is involved.
All right, well.
Well, I think you've got this one in the bag.
I think I might, but you know, we should still play. We should still play.
Okay. This might be the trickiest one of all.
Okay.
Who was the first person rumored to be born by C-section? A, Cesar Chavez. B, Julius Caesar. C, Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer.
I mean, Shauna, come on. You know I know the answer to this question. But I have to, like, applaud you for the choices, because Cesar Milan would be an amazing choice.
In, like, 1972 or whatever, right? He was born.
Yeah. I do know. I actually looked into this because I was looking into everything when I was about to have my C-section, and it is Julius Caesar.
Although it is not true, I don't think. Exactly. But it is rumored to be true.
It is rumored to be true. Actually, I think I read that it even predates Julius Caesar, right?
Yeah, I think it does. And, you know, the way I was thinking about it, about cesarean sections is, you know, the mother surviving. But duh, like back in those days, it was done like when a woman didn't survive and they wanted to like cut out the baby and save the baby, basically. Yeah. That's what a cesarean section was back then.
Yeah, moms were not walking out of that C-section.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's part of the proof of why Caesar actually was not born that way because his mother was still alive. And so it's like, well, women didn't survive those back then. But
leave it to a white man to take credit for a thing that he didn't invent.
So there you have it, people.
Wait, I have another question for you.
Oh, I thought it was over. I was just like, I've lost this game. I am cutting my losses and getting out of here. All right.
See if you can get this one.
Okay.
Ready? Which president was the father of the first presidential first baby that was born in the White House? So, like, which president was in the White House and had a baby? Like, the first one.
Oh, the baby was born while the dad was president.
In the White House, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, literally born in the White House?
Well, this actually is true. But that might give away the answer, but we'll still...
I don't know.
Okay, ready? Here are the options. John Tyler, Grover Cleveland, or John F. Kennedy?
Oh, geez. My knowledge of presidential history is nil. So this is a guess in the wild. And I really just hope I'm not way off base here, but I'm going to go with Kennedy.
You know, that would be a great guess, but it is actually wrong. And the reason it's a great guess is because when he moved into the White House, he had a one-year-old.
Okay. Yep. So yep, that's what I was thinking.
Very close.
Yes.
Very close. But actually, it's Grover Cleveland.
Oh, Groves. So, okay.
Groves, who I don't really know much about, but here's what I know. The first baby born to a uppercase first lady in the White House was Esther Cleveland, second daughter of Grover and Frances Cleveland in 1893. Mm-hmm. Another fun fact is that Frances Cleveland was 21 when she married the 49-year-old president. So, and they had 6 children total. The reason I threw John Tyler in there is because he is the president who has the most confirmed children.
How many?
He had 15 children.
Whoa!
Between the years of 1815 and 1860, with 2 different wives, I should say. I think one of his wives died. So,
oh man.
And I say confirmed because we don't know what that Thomas Jefferson was up to.
Yeah. No, Tyler.
Oh, no. Well, Tyler, he might have been up to more things, but I'm saying, like, he's the one with the most official children, but Jefferson definitely had some children that were off the books.
Yes.
So,
well, Tyler could have, too. Who knows?
They probably all did.
We're probably all related to John Tyler and Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah. I mean, I really love Hamilton the musical, and Jefferson is like the villain in that. So I'm always like, Jefferson, even though he's a founding father, it's fine.
Yeah.
That was fun, mostly because I won.
Yay. Congratulations. No, you pulled ahead.
I've pulled ahead. We will keep battling, see if my lead maintains or if you can catch up on a later episode. But should we go take a little break? You want to lick your wounds and then come back and do our BFPs and BFNs?
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP.
Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back. I've licked my wounds. I'm feeling better about my loss. And I'm ready for our BFPs and BFNs. Laura, why don't you get us started this week? What do you got?
I have a BFN.
Ooh. Whoa. This must be a big one. What?
It's such a conundrum. It's irregular naps.
Mm-hmm.
My baby sucks at napping, He sucks at napping. Like, he's pretty good at night, but I just cannot get him to sleep more than I can't get him to sleep more than 35 minutes unless I'm holding him and he has like a nipple in his mouth.
Oh my God, you can't get anything done.
I have no time without the baby. So like that means mm-hmm. that literally like, so we try to put him down for his first nap in the crib. We're practicing sleeping in the crib because eventually we're going to get there. And there was a period of time, I think I talked about it on, it was like my BFP once, where I was able to like string two nap cycles together and he slept for like an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That has gone far away. And all he does, we'll put him down. And now if we put him down in the crib, like he maybe sleeps 25 minutes. So I'm starting to revert to like getting naps in any way I can, which is usually like nursing to sleep and then holding him. Because, you mm-hmm. know, otherwise he wouldn't sleep. And we actually had a babysitter, as I mentioned, like we started having some babysitters come over so I can get a little bit of help. Mm-hmm. And I had a babysitter come over for 6 hours last week so I could go to the dentist, actually. And he didn't nap at all with her.
What? In a 6 hour period?
In a 6 hour period. And he freaking wreck, but he wouldn't fall asleep for her. And I don't blame her because she like doesn't know the tricks. She doesn't have a boob she can stick in his mouth, you know? So something's got to change. I follow the taking care of babies mm-hmm. like method I have since he was a newborn. And she just keeps saying that their naps don't consolidate till 5 months. So mm-hmm. I'm just kind of stuck in this holding pattern right now.
What is he, like 4.5-ish?
Yeah, 4 and change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's heading, coming up to 5 months. So mm-hmm. I'm just really hoping something will change because, you know, this idea of like naps are when you have you time. And I think you talked about in your update about how work was going. And you're like, I try to cram as much in during the nap. It's like, I don't have that time at all.
You can't.
I mean, I thankfully have AirPods so I can like watch my Apple TV while I'm holding him for a nap sometimes, you know, mm-hmm, but
that's good.
Yeah, but it's pretty frustrating and it's hard to just not have any downtime, you know, where a baby's mm-hmm. not like on me. You know, I'll put him down for independent play, but it only lasts so long. And usually during that time, he's
wanting me pretty shortly, you know, thereafter. So it's like not like I could get any work done. You know, I keep having clients being like, when are you coming back to work? And I'm like, I can't. I just literally can't unless I get a nanny and like rent a office space right now because I don't have anywhere to work and I can't be in the room when the baby is being watched because he just wants me and he doesn't nap. So like,
yeah,
I don't know what to do. It's very
so interesting that he sleeps so well at night though. Like he's clearly fine on his own. Do you swaddle him for naps?
I used to try to swaddle him, but he just didn't really like it. And now he's rolling over. So you're not supposed to swaddle them when they're rolling. Like he napped better when he was swaddled and I tried the Merlin suit, did not work. He really wanted to get his hands in his mouth and he was really frustrated that he couldn't really do it in the Merlin suit. So that was a loss. So yeah, I don't know what to do. And I'm just hoping, I keep like reading up on the Taking Care of Babies blog and she just keeps being like, yeah, you know, first you conquer night sleep, then you can conquer naps. And, you know, it uses a different part of the brain. And it seems to be true because he's a great night sleeper, more or less. Like since the regression, he's been a little off. But in general, he's been a fine night sleeper for a newborn.
Yeah.
And now, but the naps are just like, they're shit, Shauna. They're shit naps.
It does. It sounds like shit. I'm so sorry. I hope you come over that hump soon. I hope Kara's giving you some true hope there.
She really is giving me hope. I'm just like, okay, when can we do naps? When can we do naps? Because I would love to have just like a sliver of time to feed myself, you know? Like,
yeah, definitely. Does she just like not suggest doing any kind of sleep training or like around naps until you've done it at night? Because I know that one thing that helps Cece nap is I let her cry. It's usually only for like 5 minutes and then she goes to sleep. But
really?
I don't ever like whisk her up right away. I kind of let her keep crying and see if she'll put herself back to sleep. And most of the time she does.
Well, but see, the problem is I'm still nursing him to sleep at night, right? So like maybe I'm just totally screwing it up. But even if I nurse him to sleep in a nap and then I try to put him down, his eyes are wide open.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'll check back in. We'll see.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I hope it improves soon for you.
Thank you. Let's move on to what you've got to talk about. What do you have for us, BFP or BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good. Let's talk about something good.
I feel very proud of myself because I discovered a baby feeding hack that has been working really well for us. So Cece is so funny. When I feed her, she just wants the spoon for herself. Like, you know, she opens her mouth wide for the bite and then her hands come out and it's so hard to like navigate around her little hands and then she gets mad, of course. And so I'm like, okay, just have the spoon. So I let her feed herself messily with it. And then she will not give the spoon back. Like it's like a tug of war to get the spoon back. And so feeding either takes like a really long time or it's just like a tiny little adorable battle with my baby. And so I was like, what if I get a second spoon? And
whoa.
Mind blown. I got a second spoon. So she's like gripping her first spoon with a death grip. And I bring the second spoon out and load it up with applesauce and bring it to her mouth. And she's like, oh, new spoon. Opens her mouth. Let's go of the first spoon. I feed her and then I can grab the first spoon. And it's like a little cycle. So she now grasps the second spoon and I like can feed her with this one. So we're just, it's like a rotating cycle of spoons. That's how I get her to let go of the spoon so I can continue to feed her.
So I didn't know you were having this problem and I feel remiss because I feel like I could have helped you because this is what you have stumbled upon is exactly what my mommy and me teacher recommends.
I thought I was a genius.
No, you are because you came up with it all by yourself. So she recommends actually three spoons. I don't know why three because the two works fine. But what you've described is basically what we do too. So we like load up a spoon and hold it out. And he actually, we're working on him practicing just grabbing it and putting it in his mouth. It's super freaking messy. Another piece of advice she gave was like, if you have like borderline OCD and you can't handle it, maybe have someone else do it or just like breathe through it. Like it's going to be messy and it's going to feel bad and you're going to want to clean them up, but you don't want to clean them up until they're done. So anyway, she recommend that you have them, let them grab the spoon, they nom on it, and then you have the other one ready to go and then you hold it out for them and then they want that one. So then they drop it and you just rotate. So you actually are a genius who came up with this all by yourself.
Oh my God, I need to write children's books, obviously.
You do need to write children's books.
Baby, parenting books.
Parenting books.
Anyway,
The two spoon method.
The two spoon method. I got a video of it, so.
I want to see that. Oh, so cute. I'll share it.
It's really cute.
So cute. So,
there you go. If you're having Battle of the Spoons, use mine and only my
Shauna's
method.
Shauna's a very original. No, I think it's genius, and I'm so glad that you figured something out because.
Thank you.
Baby death grip is no fun.
Anyway, that's all for me. And I think maybe that's all for us this week.
I think so. We should probably wrap it up and get to sleep.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
If you guys want to join the conversation, you know, we love hearing from you. You can reach out to us. Where, Laura?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a community group on Facebook. Just search for Big Fat Positive Community. Also, if you love Big Fat Positive and you really want to help our show, the best thing you can do for us is leave us a rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. But even better, please tell your friends about the show. If you know anyone who's newly pregnant or struggling as a new mom, tell them to listen to our show and join our Big Fat Positive community.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.